And we are in a series called How to Get There. And the premise of this series is this, is that God has this incredible life for us, and we hear about all this good stuff that God has for us. And we come and hear messages and hear people talk about this incredible life, and then we leave going, well, how do I get there? How do I get there? So this talk and this series is all about how to get there. And so we're addressing some things and overcoming some hurdles, and the further we go into the more practical and hands-on. But today we want to talk about something that hopefully is going to clear things up. But to start, I want to begin with a story. But before I begin, I just want to know that I'm in a safe place. Anybody here navigationally challenged? That you thank God for GPS anytime you get into a vehicle? You have heard the as soon as possible make a U-turn from your message. I've never heard this personally, but I've heard there's rumored in a GPS that if you drive like I do, there's a message that come on that says, pull over to the side of the road and just wait for someone who knows what they're doing. You've been in that place. Well, before the age of where GPSs were in just about everything that we own, I was driving a van full of people to a meeting. And it was at the Minnesota Family Church Camp there. And if you ever drove there, you understand what I'm talking about. Because it's like you get on the highway and you get there and you get to a place where it just gets crazy. Okay, you can get close to it. I mean, you're only, a mile or two away. But there's just twists and turns and you're just all these weird places. So I knew how to get to there, but I didn't know how to get that last couple of turns to get me to the place that we wanted to go. So I knew I was driving this van. So there was a guy that had gone there several times, and he knew where he was going. So he gave me directions. How many remember using directions to get someplace, or a map? Remember you had the folded map in there and you needed a navigator? Oh, we're so spoiled. He gave me directions. Like, okay, you need to go up here, turn right, get up here, turn left, get up here, turn right. You're gonna get there. So I got to the place where I knew I could get to, and I pulled out the instructions, popped them right up there. And I had my handy navigator, my wife, right there with me. So, okay, we're going to get there. So we started to go down the road that we were on. So we go down there and came to the place where it said turn right. We turned right. Came to the place, same turn left. We turned left. We followed all of the directions, and we got to the end of the directions, and we were nowhere. I mean, there wasn't anything. I mean, we were like, okay, something didn't work. And so we backtracked and we tried it again. It's like, we must have missed something. So let's try this again. So we turned left, we turned right, we followed all of the instructions and just following the roads that he told us to follow. And we ended up the exact same place in the middle of nowhere. I'm like, oh my goodness, what is going on? Well, from the back of the van, this lady pipes up and she said, did my husband give you those directions? Yeah. Oh, yeah. See, he's got this weird kind of dyslexia where he mixes his left and rights up. So whatever he told you, just do the opposite and it'll probably work. And guess what? It did. Got back there. He said, turn right. We turned left. We said, turn right. I mean, we turned left again. Turn left, turn right. And we ended up where we needed to go. And here's the thing. It wasn't that we... it wasn't that we wanted to get lost. It wasn't that we didn't intend to not get there. We really wanted to get there. But whatever path we followed is where we ended up. The route that we took is where we ended up, no matter how much we wanted. And there's this principle in driving that is true, and maybe you've discovered this. It says this. We call it the path principle, and it's this. Direction, not intention, determines destination. Can we say that together? Direction, not intention, determines destination. So it works like this. You can tell your kids, we're going to Disneyland. Oh, yeah, we love you. We love you, Dad. You're the best guy ever. And then you go, you pack your sunscreen, okay? You pack your Mickey Mouse ears. You sing It's a Small World, over to the dinner table, right? You talk about it at work. You ask for vacation. You even get in the car and you pray for God to help you have a safe trip and not get too sunburned or brag too much when you come home, okay? All of this, and you ask for God's protection and blessing, and you get on I-94 and head north. You're not going to get to Florida. You're not going to get there because direction, not intention, determines destination. I mean, we understand this. I mean, we see this. We see, you know, we understand this. But here's the thing. This principle is true in driving, but this principle is also true in life. Because we're on some kind of path, aren't we? We're on a path financially. We're on a path morally. We're on a path relationally. We're on a path spiritually. That every one of us are taking this journey. And there is this disconnect so often in our lives between where we want to end up and the path that we choose to get there. And somewhere along the line, we still think that our intentions and our hopes and our dreams still trump the direction that our actions are taking us. We think if we just really want to, or we intend to, or in our heart, that's what we want, and this is what we want, it somehow overrides all of the actions and all of our decisions that were taken along the way. And we're talking about how to get to this blessed life, how to get to this life that God has for us, how to get to a life where we have a great relationship, how we have a great family, how we have a great relationship with God, where there's peace in our life, where we're not struggling with fear, where we're overcoming those things. And we're never going to get there. Never going to get there if we don't take hold of this principle and understand this to be true in our lives, that direction, not intention, determines destination. So I want you to act real smart and turn to somebody sitting next to you and tell them this, okay? Act like you're informing them. Tell them. So tell them, hey, just want you to know, direction, not intention, determines destination. Direction, not intention, determines destination. All right. So, I mean, we could leave right now. I mean, that's good enough right there. I mean, here's what I want to show you something from Scripture today. I want to show you something that Solomon wrote about this. And Solomon was the wisest man ever. And he writes about looking out a window and seeing a guy, and he is able to predict this guy's ending based upon the direction that he's going. And he's writing about this, being able to see what's happened ahead of time. And it's not about fortune telling. It's about a destination. He's saying, look, I can tell where you're headed based upon where you're going. I can tell where you're going to end up based upon the route that you're taking, based upon your actions, based upon the decisions that you're making, that there's this path principle in play in every area of our lives. And you can see it before it happens. And you've experienced this if you've ever seen a car crash happen. And you see the cars coming together, and you know what's going to happen. I mean, you see the one going through the red light, and you see another one halfway through, and you know it. You cringe, you can see it. Before it even happens, you know it, because you see where the path is headed. You see the destination. If you see someone that is 9.5 months pregnant, you know the path that is going to happen. Soon, you know, there's going to be another mouth to feed. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to see how that's going to turn out. We can see how it plays out, because direction, not intention, determines destination. Quite a few years ago, Dad and I were driving down Brackett Street. And when I say this, he's going to remember the story I'm telling. And we saw this guy that we knew on a bike. And this guy, in all honesty, shouldn't have been on a bike. There are just some people that should not ride a bike, all right? You know who I'm talking about, okay? And so he is riding down Brackett Street Hill, which is a steep hill. And he is going faster and faster. And he sees us, and he waves, okay, which you shouldn't do anyway. Oh, no, it gets better. It's better than that. And we're like, don't wave, you know, both hands on the, you know, on the steering wheel. And you can see, we're watching him, and he gets this look like, this is not what I intended, okay? And I'm going faster and faster. And obviously, the speed has shut off the part of his brain where he realized I have brakes, okay? So that's not even a factor. So it goes from a friendly hi to a, oh my goodness, to, oh my Lord, to, I'm getting ready to see you, God, okay? And he's going down and going down faster, faster, faster. Now, this has been some time ago. They've changed the layout at the bottom of that hill, but there used to be a house right at the bottom of that hill with a handicap ramp that led right up to the house, all right? So Dad and I are watching this guy, and he's going faster and faster. And I forget who mentioned Dad, probably. He's like, he's going to hit that house. He's going to hit that house. And he's just picking up speed. He's going faster and faster and faster. And we knew what was going to happen. And this is the days before, you know, everybody had phones and cameras, because this would have been awesome to film. This would have been, I mean, You know, you talk about a viral video. This is one that's like you watch and you go, I'm so glad that's not me, you know. And so what he did, he got down to the bottom and he's going faster than he's ever been. He doesn't hit the brakes. He doesn't want to do this, you can tell. But he goes right up the ramp and right through the screen door into the home of a perfect stranger. And we're watching. It's like, we knew that was going to happen. Can you imagine the conversation after that? Well, hello. Just decided I'd drop in. Sorry about the door. You know, we're wondering if he went all the way through and went out the back door, you know, and just shot right through. It's like, did you hear something? You know, I just saw a biker run through. Okay. Did he intend to do that? No. But direction, not intention, determines destination. And Solomon is saying, he's like, look, you can see it. The path is so clear. Anybody going this path, you can see it ahead of time. And that's what he's writing about, and that's what we're looking at. We're looking at Proverbs chapter 7. At the window of my house, I looked through the lattice. And so he says, I'm looking out, and this is what I saw. I saw among the simple, I noticed among the young, a youth who had no sense. And you're going, you had to be the wisest man in the world to see that? I mean, anybody who's ever had kids or whoever has been a kid understands this. Okay, it's like, I saw a kid with no sense. It's like, well, that's not new. But here, we need to understand this. When Solomon is writing about this, he's not just saying, yeah, it's all kids. He's equating this. He says, there is something that comes about with time and experience. There is wisdom, and there is judgment. There is knowledge and understanding that comes about with time and experience. Time and experience. And those of us that are getting older, you understand this, you're like, wow. It's becoming clearer and clearer. Why? Because we see more time and more experience. We see how it's worked out. And he says, look, here's a kid that hasn't seen it yet, that doesn't know, but yet he still thinks he has it all figured out. Here's a youth with no sense, meaning that, you know what? He doesn't have that experience. He doesn't have that judgment. He says, so here's all a youth with no sense. And look at what he says here. He was going down the street near her corner, walking along in the direction of her house. Look at this, it goes on. At twilight, as the day was fading, as the dark of the night set in, verse 10, look at this. Then out came a woman to meet him, dressed like a prostitute. We find out later she's not, with a crafty intent. Now here's the thing. We know where this story's going, don't we? I mean, we can see this. I mean, this is no surprise here. And in this story, if we were to set in, there's really two different soundtracks playing, okay? For this young guy, you know, he's hearing like, you know, Born to be Wild or, you know, Party Like a Rock Star or, you know, Tonight's the Night. He's hearing that music play and he's thinking, okay, this is going to be a great experience. This is going to be awesome. You know, I'm hearing my soundtrack. For the rest of us, we're hearing the theme music from Jaws, aren't we? Like, burdum. Ba-dum, 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 ba-dum. We know what's coming. We know this is not going to end well. Okay? But yet there's this huge disconnect between the two. There's this huge difference between the two. And this is what Solomon is talking about. He says, hey, this kid, this is an event. But Solomon's saying, no, this isn't just an event. This is a path. This has a destination. He is headed in a direction. He thinks this is just in the moment, but we can see where this is ending. Hey, skip down to verse 18. It goes, says, she's talking to him. It says, come, let's drink deeply of love till morning. Let's enjoy ourselves with love. She goes on. My husband is not at home. It's like, we assumed that, okay? He has gone on a long journey. And this next verse used to throw me. He took his purse. So I'm thinking, maybe that's why they were having marital troubles, you know? Taking his purse? Okay, no. What? You look at the word he's using. He didn't take his purse. Okay, think of it this way. He took his man bag. Okay, we'll do it that way. Okay, he took his man bag full of money. All right. So he took his wallet full of money and will not be home till full noon. Okay, he goes on. And next verse. So with persuasive words, she led him astray. She seduced him with her smooth talk. Just hold right there. Okay. From this young person's perspective with no sense, his perspective is this. I'm in charge. Hey, I've got this under control. Hey, this is my choice. This is my event. I'm calling the shots here. You don't understand. I mean, you don't get it. You know, you just stay out of this. I know what I'm doing. And Solomon is saying, no. You don't get it. You're just another statistic. You think you're different, and you're not. The path is clear. We all know where this is headed. You think that you've got it all together. You think you've got it all figured out. You think that you're the one in control. But you know what? We can see it. It's clear. It's clear. Look at how it ends. We know it. Verse 22. All at once he followed her, not like a superstar, not like one in charge, but what does it say? Like an ox going to the slaughter, like a deer stepping into a noose. It goes on. Till an arrow pierces its liver, like a bird darting into a stare, little knowing it will cost him his life. Look at this. He finishes up. He says, look, you think you're unique? He says, you think you got it all together? He says, no, it's a path. It's a path. He says, now then, my sons, he begins to talk to us. He says, listen to me. Pay attention to what I have to say. And he begins to talk to us, the people he's writing. He says, do not let your heart turn to her ways or stray into her paths. It just means you got to be purposeful about this. He goes on, look at this. Many are the victims she has brought down. Her slain are among a mighty throng. You mean my story is not unique? No, you're just like everybody else. You mean that I'm not going to be the difference? You know, I'm not going to be the unique one that it all works out? No, you're just, we've seen it. You're just part of a crowd. This scenario is so predictable. It's so predictable. Everybody sees this but you. And he sums it up with this last verse. It says, here in her house is a highway to the grave. I mean, it's a broad path. I mean, just it's the path that you're following, highway to the grave, leading down to the chambers of death. And again, what he's summing up is this, is the principle we're talking about today, is that direction, not intention, determines destination. That the path that he's following, we knew how it was going to end. We knew how it was going to end. But yet, in that moment, he can't see it. And here's what I'm trying to get to today, because we can't live with this disconnect that our culture and the life that we live hands us, that this disconnect says that as long as my intentions are good, as long as I feel it in my heart, as long as that I'm good or I'm positive, as long as I want to end up someplace good, it doesn't matter what path I take. That as long as I want this to end right, as long as I want this to work out, it really doesn't matter which path I take, as long as I really want it, as long as I have it in my heart that I believe, you know, and I'm just going to hold on to that. And we have come to believe this lie. I mean, I talk to people all the time, and they say, you know, I love God. You know, I want to go to heaven. I want a great marriage. I want a healthy home. I want a great job. I say, well, what are you doing? Are you willing to change? No. I mean, are you willing to alter your course? No. But I really want it. And there's this thing that somewhere along the line, we began to think that our life is a Disney movie. That somehow, some way, if we just believe and wish upon a star, that it is all going to turn out okay, that it doesn't matter what we do. It doesn't matter what we say. It doesn't matter the choices that we make. As long as our heart is right. And at the end of the movie, it's all going to work out great. And if that is what you believe, I only have one thing to say. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry, because here's the thing. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. Our direction, not our intention, determines destination. That our actions, not our dreams, not our plans, not our wishes, not our hopes, not, you know, what we intend to do someday. It's the decisions and actions that we take that are going to determine where we end up. Because every path has a predetermined destination. I mean, the path of the workaholic has a destination where they say, well, you know, how come my spouse is so distant from me? And how come my kids don't want anything to do with me? How come I'm so stressed out? Well, you know what? You just follow the path to where it leads, okay? The path of greed leads to a destination. The path of debt leads to a destination. And so does the path of purity. So does the path of forgiveness. So does the path of love and of mercy. That every destination is determined by the path and the actions that we take. And somewhere along the line, we forget that. And we live lives different than the way that we talk or the way that we feel. So I wrote down a bunch of things, and at least one of these is probably going to hurt. So I'm just warning you in advance, okay? Because this is the crazy stuff that we live like, but yet we would never say this out loud. I was thinking about maybe having you read these out loud, because then you could say, well, at least I said it out loud, but I want to have you read them out loud. I'll read them, okay? But in all areas of our lives, this is how crazy that it looks. Look at these, okay, ready? There we go. I want God to bless me financially. Yes, yes. So I'm not going to give him anything. Goes on. I got a bunch of these. I want to meet a great Christian who's really got their act together, so I'm going to go out with whoever who asks me, just as long as they're cute. Okay? All right. You see where we're going here? Okay, here we go. I want a great married life, so I won't have any moral boundaries with the people I date until then. Direction, not intention. Determines destination. Goes on. I want our family to be close. I want everybody on the same page, so I'm going to work all the time. Never going to be home. Okay? Because that's what I want. But if I really want it, really want it, believe in it, wish upon that star. See this? See how crazy it looks? I want my kids to respect me, so I'm going to make unethical decisions in my personal and financial matters. But I really want them to respect me. I really want them to, hey, Dad, need some wisdom. I know you've made stupid decisions all your life, but I'm coming to you hoping you're going to get it right this time. See the imbalance? It goes on. I want my kids to stay away from alcohol, so I'm going to drink. I want to grow old and invest in my grandchildren, so I'm going to neglect my health. I want my children to be brought up with the same Christian values I had, so we're going to miss church a lot. I want to lose weight, so can you please supersize that? That's the one safe one that we laugh on, right? All the rest of it's like, I don't want to laugh about that because that's too close to home. I want to have a great relationship with my husband or wife, so I'm going to make my children the priority over them. Oh, yeah. I want to live without financial pressure, so I'm going to max out all my credit cards. That's how I'm going to do it. Yeah. Through excess. I'm going to spend my way to financial freedom. Oh, yeah. And then we wonder, it's like, I can't believe I'm in this place. I can't believe I'm here. And here's the thing. In all of these, when we end up there, here's the key. All you got to do is turn around and see how you got there. Because you did everything perfectly to take you to where you're at. See, we like blaming everything else, but the principle of the path says, you know what, it's your direction and your decisions to take you there. There's a few more of these. I want to know God, so every morning I'm going to get up early in the morning and check my email. The important things first. And here's what this is, just the summary right here. The I want doesn't get you anywhere. It's the path you choose to walk down determines your destination. The I wants and the I wish and someday and hopefully and I know it's going to work out for me. It's the path that you choose. And I see people all the time, and you see people all the time, that they look at their life and they say, I don't understand what happened. I don't understand how I got here. I don't understand how I'm in this mess that I'm in or in this place that I'm in. And the easy answer is this, and it's difficult to say, but it's turn around and see how you got here. Look at the path that you took. Look at the decisions that you made. Look at the route that you took. I know what you wanted, but what did you do? I know where you wanted to end up, But what route did you take? Because that's what got you to where you are. And here's the thing, it happens every time. That you're not an exception. You look at somebody who has a great marriage, and you know what you're going to find? You're going to find the actions that build a great marriage. Okay, you're not going to find, a place where, the wife likes, throwing dish pans at her husband's head, and he's like, oh, I just love that, It's like, it doesn't work that way. Or they just ignore each other, where we speak once a month at church. We say hi and shake each other's hands. That's how we have a great marriage. No, you wouldn't expect to see that. You would expect to see the actions. And yet we look at our own lives and the things that we want and where we want to end up, and then we're surprised when we get there. Because we always think we're going to be the exception, and we're not. Because just like the naive guy in this story, here's why. We become enamored with what's on the path or who's on the path and ignore the fact that we're going the wrong way. You see, on the wrong path, there's always this immediate fix or there's this thrill that's associated with it, right? I mean, it's the quick buck, it's 0% financing, or, how many have ever justified buying something that they knew they couldn't afford by these words, but it was on sale. But you couldn't afford it, but it was on sale. But you didn't need it, but it was on sale. See, we become emotionally attached to it, of what's on the path, or it draws us there. They make me feel like I used to. I know, but you shouldn't be in that relationship. But I know, but that it just, I feel so much better with when I'm with them. I know, but you shouldn't be in that relationship. But you see what he drives? Yeah, of course I'm going to go out with him. He drives, a Pinto. I mean, those are some of the finest cars. Nothing wrong with a Pinto. No. But you know what I'm talking about? We become so emotionally attached. It's what I've always wanted. It's what I know I need. It's going to complete me. It's what's missing in my life. We become so enamored with what is on the wrong path that we forget that we're on the wrong path, and we can justify it by this emotional attachment with how we know it's going to work out, of how everyone else has got it wrong, of how no one understands it like we understand it, because we know where we want to end up, and we know where we want to land, and we know where we want life to take us, and this is just going to be the best thing, and I know that it's going to have a happy ending. This is why it is so easy to see bad decisions in other people's lives and not our own. You all know people that you've been able to predict. That ain't gonna last. You've seen people hired that you go, okay, stop, start the countdown. They ain't gonna last here, okay? Not because, you've got a fortune teller business, but you see the path that they're on. They're showing up late. They're not doing the work. They're mouthing off to the boss. I mean, they're stealing stuff. I mean, come on. We see where this is going. I mean, this is clear. But, you ask them how they're doing. Oh, I love this job. I'm going to be here forever. I'm going to retire out of here. Yeah, maybe to the prison, But, to the rest of us, it's clear. You've seen relationships that you see, we see where that's headed. But yet, in the middle of it, they don't see it. You see people making bad decisions. That's why it's so clear to everybody else and not clear to ourselves, because we have this emotional attachment to what's on the wrong path. And we think it's going to be different. We think if we intend to, that somehow we're the exception. And we begin to stop listening. And so somebody asked you this question. Here's this one. Has someone ever tried to warn you, but you knew better? Has somebody with more experience, with more time, ever warned you, but you just knew better? I mean, insert your soundtrack here, okay? Because you're just like the naive guy. Okay, where you said, no, I'm smarter than that. I'm different than that. This time it's going to work. I know how it works out for everybody else, but I'm going to be unique. Some of us have been long enough around long enough where we've seen it, and we had to go back and say, you know what, you were right. You were right. The direction does determine destination. Direction does determine destination. And so we look to wisdom. But here's the beautiful thing. We've talked about negative examples, but this works just as true on the other side. That some of you today have taken the path of forgiveness, where you could have taken the path of harboring jealousy or harboring bad feelings or harboring revenge, but yet you decided to take the path of forgiveness, saying, you know what, where I want to go is down this road, not that road. And today you live a life free from all of those things that could have captured you and you could still be struggling, but you said, you know what, I'm going to take the right path. Some of you have taken the path of financial wisdom, and you're living a life today where you're blessed, where there's not that stress, where there's not that pressure, where there's not that anxiety of every phone call that happens or every letter that you get. It's not there. Why? Because of the path that you've taken. It goes both ways. The direction has an ending. There is a destination associated with your path. Some of you have taken this path in your relationship with God, and you are living a life that is beyond expectation. That we're talking about getting there, and you say, I'm there. I know the blessings of God in my life. And we look at you, and you can look at your life, and you say, well, how did I get here? Was I an exception? Did God just like me better than everybody else? No, you just followed the path that he laid out. You begin to take God at his word and say, okay, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to do it your way. I'm going to do what your word says that I need to do. And guess what happens? You end up where God's word says you will end up. That if you choose to live your life his way, the direction, not intention, determines destination. And some of you are saying, you know what? Amen. It's true. I've seen it. I'm blessed. Because of it, I'm blessed. And I know I'm also talking to some people that didn't. That you're at a place right now where you never wanted to be. You never wanted to be in this situation. You never wanted to be fighting this fight. You never wanted to be in this circumstance. And some of you are mad at God over this. Some of you have been in situations in your life where you've blamed God. And you said, well, how could he? Let me go through this. How could he let me struggle with this? The truth is, for most cases, just turn around and look. That God doesn't lie. He says, look, you follow the path, that's where you're going to go. And God says, look, I've given you my path and you've chose to ignore it. And you've taken your own path and then blamed me. That I said that path isn't going to lead to where you want to go. Take this path, but you say, nah, but I really want to get there, but I'm going to still do it my way. And when I'm not there, I'm going to shake my fist at you, God, and say, and it's all your fault. When I'm the one who made the decision, and God is saying, wait a second, time out. Time out. That if you want the life that I have for you, you got to change your direction. Got to change your decision. Got to change your actions. Can't just keep doing the same thing over and over and expecting a difference. I mean, we know this in our natural life. There was a time where Starla and I both went on a diet. She lost 10 pounds. I gained 10 pounds. We were both on the same diet. But you know what? You know the story. You know who did the right thing and who did the wrong thing, okay? We had all these snacks set aside that we could eat. I ate them all, like, in one day. Okay, and I said, well, if that's the snack quota for the diet, I thought that was my daily quota, right? Got to refill that back up. It doesn't work. And the same thing in your life. You say, why is my relationship with God so empty? Why do I still fear? Why do I still have these feelings that I'm wrestling with? Why am I still struggling with this? Look at the path. Direction, not intention, determines destination. So here's the question I want to leave you with is this. If you continue on your current course, where are you going to end up? Not where you intend to, not the Disney ending, not where, well, I'm the exception, I'm going to, you know, it's going to be different for me. No, because it doesn't work that way. If you're headed on your current course, with your current action, where are you going to head up? Where are you going to land? Is it where you want to? Is it where you intend to? Is it where in your heart you really want? Is it going to take you to that marriage? Is it going to take you to that family? Is it going to take you to that job? Is it going to take you to that relationship with God? Is it going to take you to heaven? See, because as much as we don't like it, there's a passage in Scripture where Jesus said there are going to be people that are going to be surprised. That at the end of it all, they intended, they wished, they desired to end up where we all want to end up. But God says, wait a second, direction, not intention, determines destination. And so if we're going to have the life that God wants for us, we've got to stop and say, where am I headed? Because this is so important. Where you are headed is more important than where you are. Because I can be in a very bad place, but you know what? If I'm headed in the right direction, I know I'm going to be okay. I can be going through something right now. I can be in the midst of a storm. But if I know, okay, God, okay, it is crazy around me, but I'm going to follow your path, I know that there is going to be a time where I end up where I want to end up. But I also know that your life can be going great right now, that everything can be going perfect, that it just seems like you have not a care in the world, but your direction is headed away, that your actions are taking you down another path. It's just a matter of time. It's just a matter of time. If you continue on your course, where are you going to end up? Where are you going to land? Because here's the thing. This is a principle that means that nobody gets around it. There's no buy. There's no exceptions. You're going to eventually end up where your actions take you. You're going to eventually end up where your direction is taking you. And so, to be wise and to put God's word in a very practical way, we ask the question, where am I headed? Where am I going? Where are my actions taking me? And if that's the case, do I need to change my direction so that I can change my destination? I love God's word because it's so practical. That this simple principle works in every area, every situation. That God says, I have a plan for you. I have a way for you. And it's going to take you to where you want to be. It's the blessed life. It's the best life. But you can choose to follow it, or you can choose to ignore it. But the principle still holds true. Direction, not intention, determines destination. So in just a minute, we're going to have a time of prayer. We're going to open the altar, invite you to come and find a place to pray. Seek God. Ask God for forgiveness. Ask God for strength. Ask God to take control of your life. Ask God to do what he does. And I know this, is that just about everybody here wants what happens at an altar. I want to walk away from this feeling free from the weight that I carried in. I want to walk away feeling joy. I want to walk away from this feeling peace. I want to walk away from this knowing that me and God, I'm right where I need to be, and he has this thing under control, and I don't have to worry. We want that. But what are your actions going to be? Do I view amen as like the gentleman start your engines and as fast as I can get out of here and get in my car? I mean, I'm headed out of here. I don't know. Where does that take you? Or for just a moment today, would you reconsider and say, okay, What's my direction? What's my action? What's my decision going to be? If I want what's happened, what happens at an altar, if I want what happens when I talk to God and when I do those things that I know God promised that He'd do for me, is that where I want to end up? Am I going to fool myself? Or am I going to experience it and say, God, I need You, and so I'm following You? The beautiful thing is that the decision is yours. Nobody can make it for you. It's your decision, your call. Nobody's going to lasso you and drag you up here and get down here and pray. You know, it don't work that way. I wish it would, because that would solve a lot of your problems, okay? It'd be so easy for me to just get up here, pray. You'd be like, oh, thank You, when it's done. We can't do that, all right? We would be arrested, okay? That's not going to work. But you got to make the choice. But you got to live with the choice. It's your call. And that's the beauty and the gift that God gave you. So look, I'm not going to force you, but I'm going to give you the opportunity. Because when we come to God, God doesn't lie, keeps His word. But ask ourselves, where is my direction taking me? Here's the principle. Direction, not intention, determines destination. Let's stand.